Welcome, everybody, to the PlayStation 5 Central Podcast. It's a podcast where we give you absolutely everything on the PS5 and its upcoming games. God of War Horizon, Forbidden West, Gran Turismo 7, just to name a few. And today we are talking about one of those games, which you will already know by the title of this episode. I'm joined not by Vikarth, he is AFK, we call it in the gaming world. Mm-hmm. He is MIA, missing in action. Is that the word?
Yeah. So if you see him, let us know, because we don't know where he is.
he's got some problems. We'll leave it at that. That sounds so wrong.
Let's not open that can of worms. Vice problem, day one.
We are joined by Jordan. He goes by the Platinum King. How are you, mate?
I'm good. There's one thing that, you know, we got no Vic in the show. That's true. There's one other thing that there won't be, and that is rumors. No rumors today.
Yeah, and we don't have go on for 30 minutes about an acquisition of a company. Love you, Vic.
Hear about him being a corporate apologist for NFTs. You know what I mean?
Oh, don't get me started on that. I feel like shooting him every time he says that. It's not acceptable, really.
It's not. I saw something today, complete sidebar, and it was like, so this one company had stolen like $100 million from people.
Yeah.
Like in one swipe. I think it was $100 million through like NFTs and blockchain or something like that.
Yeah, I never see any good stories out of it. I don't know about you.
No, legit never.
Yeah, so I looked at some of the sales data for Horizon, and some people were like turning it to say like, oh, it's 60% less, but it was in retail and they don't have the digital figures. So that means nothing to me, because digital every year is going up, you know?
Especially when, like, you need to consider we have a digital-only console now, which takes up a part of the market.
No, everyone forgets that. I think everyone forgets that.
Yeah. So there's that. There's also the fact that it is a busy, busy time.
There's lots of competition too. And
there's heaps of competition at the moment.
Also, there's a lot of people waiting.
I think there's one last thing that might hold it back as well in terms of sales. And I know that the last one sold really well. It is a pretty intimidating game, this Horizon. Like, there is a lot going on. And if you're not an RPG person,
it's a turn off.
Yeah. It could definitely be a turn off because it is very overwhelming.
That was the big thing. And you and me have played it now, so we can talk about it. When you sort of open up a little bit after that initial, how long is this sort of opening? It's like 6 to 8 hours. It's a bit of a slog, Jordan, to get through.
Yeah. Well, what would you call the end of the opening?
I don't know, because there's sort of two. There's one where you're in the tutorial section. Yeah. And then you get out of that
That's a very good tutorial. I love that the tutorial isn't Aloy using these things and being like, oh, so this is how I use it. It's her teaching Vile how to use them, which I think is fantastic.
It's smart.
That's a very, very good utilization of a tutorial.
So then you get the title sequence after that, but then there's actually another 5 hours to really open up to the whole map, if you know what I mean.
Mm.
Which is where you're up to now. Yeah, I'd say
that's probably the bit. That's probably the bit. Because it seems like there's like two walls you need to get through.
Yeah.
And so like you go through the tutorial and you sort of go down to like chain scrape.
Mm.
And that's like where it opens up. But then like there's another bit where it then opens up again.
And that could turn people off too, because there's a lot of lore building and story when you go underground there, and a lot of cutscenes.
And I think this game definitely would have benefited from having just a reminder sizzle reel at the start to tell you like, hey, this is the Carja, this is the Osirum. Like, here's what happened in the last game.
It did have a little one, didn't it? But not to what you're saying.
Really only like the main story beats, if that.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
It needs something where like, and like the characters do a pretty good job. Like, they do a pretty good job of like backfilling and reminding you. But like, we come across like one character, like Petra. I'm like, oh, she must be from the first game, because the way they're reminiscing, but like, I don't remember you. Like, I don't know who you are.
The only person I remember too, I think his name's Avard, and the other one was Erend.
Yeah, I remembered Erend.
I remembered Erend.
The other one I remembered who isn't even in this one was Rost. I remembered him.
Yeah. But this is, see, remember a few weeks ago what I said? I said, there's one issue I'm looking to be addressed. It's Aloy. Is she going to have some personality this time around? Is there going to be a bit more? And sorry to say, Jordan, it's not there. It's one note. And I love Ashley Birch. I love her performance in Borderlands and in Life is Strange, and you can name all the games she's in. I don't know what's going on with this game. I can't get involved with Aloy. Now, I still love the game. We're going to talk about how much we love this game, but that's just one glaring issue that hasn't been addressed. I'm 22 hours in. But yeah, that's my main gripe at this, you know. I mean, the gameplay is just phenomenal. There's no doubt about it.
It very much is. It's so much fun. The depth with each new machine you come across, and like how you need to be different, how you need to differentiate with how you take them down, is so much fun. And all those things keep coming back to me about like how like you need to take certain parts off to be able to collect them. Like if you don't take the like chest piece off, and then it like the machine dies, you don't get to collect that part. But if you shoot it off while it's still alive, you get to collect it after. And same as like,
so cool.
I can't think of the names of the machines are super cool. I can't think of what the is it a Sky Drifter or something like that? And like,
oh, there's some really really cool names. Yeah.
And like the kangaroo one that I just like.
Oh, the kangaroo one. Yes, the Leap Lasher.
That's what it is. Leap Lasher. That's awesome.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm looking it up now, the names, because there is actually, I looked at my codec and I've only found half. There's still a lot to go.
I'm at about half, maybe just coming up to half. So I was at the bit where you come against a Grimhorn, which is like the big Triceratops, which is super sick. Like,
I'm sorry, but the Slither Fang. The Slither Fang.
Oh, that might be the goat so far.
Man, that's sick.
You know how like they give you that tease at the start, like you sort of have that battle against it, but you know it's going to come back later and it's going to be like a full-fledged battle. It's like, that's going to be sick.
Well, I know where you're up to. You're up to where it opens, the game.
The second time.
the second time. And so I went exploring and I ended up in like a level 30 zone and I was only level 15. End up taking out a Thunderjaw. It took about 20 minutes because I was so low level. But I knew how to get around him because of the first game. But then I went. Then I got killed by I think it's called a Rock Breaker. Man, they're cool. But
I haven't seen those yet.
I think they're in the first game as well. I can't remember. But I know that there's some we haven't seen as well.
I didn't pay too much attention to all the trailers for this game.
Mm.
The Thunderjaw was like the crowning jewel of that game's machine. It was like the first raid boss.
Yeah.
Sort of like the raid boss of the first game. And this may have been already shown in footage before. The Thunderjaw, obviously we need to step up from the Thunderjaw now. Do you think we're going to be getting like a dragon type situation for the big bad?
I don't want to spoil, but there is I came across another one that was huge. It was frightening. Yeah. I got out of there very quickly. And
did you think that seemed like the Thunderjaw of this game?
I believe there is another one as well that's not in the open, but I don't know. We'll find out. Because I appreciate
you not spoiling it for me, because that's one of the most amazing things. Yeah, when you come across like new machines, it's like, all right, well, how am I going to take this down?
You haven't played the DLC, so there's also a really cool machine from the DLC that's in this game.
I told you my story.
So good luck.
Yeah, I told you my story with the DLC. I'll tell the listeners. So I downloaded Frozen Wilds last week and I was like, yep, Frozen Wilds, here we go. I'm stoked for it. I got in and I got stuck on the same rock twice in a row, not being able to get out. And I was like, you know what? No, maybe not. Maybe not this week. So I didn't go back to it. So I'm thinking once I finish this, I will hope to go back to it, the DLC at some stage.
You got the platinum on the first game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, did you have this thought go through your head as well, Dan? I know you did.
What?
So did you look up to see whether you could auto pop this platinum or not?
Yeah, you can.
Both versions?
You can, but I can't play it on PS4, man. I'm not playing this on PS4. I refuse.
I thought about it for a very brief second, and I was like,
nah.
I played Guardians on the PS4 so I could do it and pop it on the PS5. And after going and looking at Guardians running, like the PS5 version running, I was like, yeah. I did myself a disservice. Like, I should have played the PS5 version. So,
especially for this game, there's no way. Mm.
Oh, it's so beautiful. Please.
I know someone that did it on PS4 and I'm like, and he auto popped the PS5 already. He's already done it. I'm like, man, you're missing out, man. This is one of the most beautiful games you'll ever play in terms of open world. I think it definitely is. I can't think of too many that beat it, really. It is the water, the landscapes. You got snow, desert, jungle. This is what I love.
Even the way the blight looks. Is that what it's called? The red stuff? Is that called the blight?
Yeah, those leaves, yeah.
Yeah, even that looks amazing. Like, it's just such a good-looking game.
But you got to play it on 60 frames, in my opinion.
Yeah, I've tried both. It's so jarring going from 60 frames to 30 frames because it legit looks like you're watching a stop-motion video.
You can't do it. I can't do 30.
Like, as good as it looks, I couldn't do it. I had to go back.
I can't believe I played Uncharted 4 was 30. I can't believe that. But, I mean, in terms of graphics, this is the start of the PS5 and it already looks this good. It's pretty crazy. And it's not even really... It's a cross-gen. It's not a truly next-gen experience as well, which is crazy. They've done a great job. There's no doubt about it. And it's pretty polished. A couple of bugs here and there. I see things pop up, but it's like, guys, come on. I mean, like...
One annoying... Yeah, sorry, go.
No, it's just... People love to compare these games to, Red Dead Redemption 2. Everyone, you always get compared to that game. You know, it's I don't know. Rockstar, man, they're good.
Yeah, they're next level. One annoying bug I had was you come across those, is it called Fire Gleam? Those red crystals?
I think
it's called Fire Gleam. Yeah. And so the first time I came across it, I was like, oh, I'll try and get rid of it. And so like I use a frost arrow on it, not because I thought it would work, but I just thought like Alo might be like, might need to try this.
Mm.
And so I just shot it and it kept doing frost damage. But every time it did frost damage, she would start saying like, that's not going to work. So every time it did it, she'd just be like,
that's not going to,
full on 25 seconds. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so annoying.
So there's a problem I have with the game. She talks way too much. Now, where it becomes, sometimes it's really great. Like, it should actually help.
There's definitely situations where it does help.
When I'm versing a belly back, whatever you call it, and she's like, you should use acid here. Yeah.
Are you just naming parts of the body and putting them together now?
Well, anyway, but then...
Like when I loved it when I went up against that elbow toe, you know what I mean?
Well, then I'm trying to figure out a puzzle and she tells me exactly how to do it. And then it's like, I can see what you're trying to do here. For people getting frustrated, it's an easy way to do it. But it's like, I had it. I'm not that dumb.
There are the other annoying times as well when like you're in a cave and she'd be like, got to get that raccoon pouch or like raccoon hide for my ammo pouch. I'm like, why do we need this now, Aloy? Touching on that as well. So circling back to what you were saying about Aloy and her personality.
Yeah. Yep.
This really hit me at the point of the game I'm at now. And you know,
so you agree?
No. So
you don't agree. Okay.
I agree, but I'm not, I don't hate it.
I don't hate it either. I don't hate it.
Yeah. Because there are moments where she does show personality. Like, what's his name? Who's the like the leader of Chainscrape? Like Ulvund? Is it Ulvund?
This is another problem I have. There's just too many characters.
Yeah. Something like that. Ulvund. Whoever that Weasley dude is. Oh, yeah. No, it's not. It's when you get down the lift towards Chainscrape and that
I thought she showed some personality just before where you are, where she goes into that tribe area.
Yeah. And there's that.
Is that what
and
you're talking the
guy
about?
Goes, yeah, no, it's when she goes down there and before she goes into Chainscrape, there's that scholar who wants to come back up and he keeps trying to talk and she's like, hey, shh. And oh, I was like, all right, get him.
But yeah, at the end of the day, once one in 8 hours, this is what I mean.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, she is someone who's like literally taking the problems of the world on her shoulders. Like if she doesn't have time for a laugh, I sort of get it.
Yeah. I do not care that she's not funny. That's not it. It's every like the delivery of the notes is very one note to me, like very one toned. And I just feel like there's so many characters that I've come across in this game. I couldn't tell you half their names. There's too many characters.
I came like, across some chef it, who wanted to
back
like
a bit.
Yeah.
Or I don't know. Like I've literally come across 60 characters in 20 hours or maybe even more. And they all talk to you. I will say one thing though. I got sucked into the game Strike, their version of
Gwent. Oh, did ya?
Yeah, I got sucked in. I love that game. I always get sucked in. AC Valhalla, Assassin's Creed. There was a game that I loved as well. I forgot the name of it. But man, it's a lot to love, but there's also a lot of frustrations for me with this game.
Do you feel like they've tried to make this? So I felt like Horizon was very much a light RPG. Like, yeah, there was definitely RPG elements and it was more of an open world game than anything else. Like it was more of just an open world exploration game. Whereas this one I feel like is more of an RPG. Do you think that hinders it a little bit? Because it makes it quite dense.
I hadn't thought about that aspect, to be honest. I mean, that could be a reason why. There's just a lot going on, even in the menus. There's always, there's so much there. You can spend 20 minutes in the menu doing your skills, going through your weaponry and your outfits, and then the codex, the databases, the pouches. There's a lot to worry about.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely bigger. I just don't know whether it's better.
I mean,
like in that aspect.
There's so much to love and also not like, but I'll be interested to see what Vike says about Aloy. I just don't think she's not showing it to me, unfortunately, which was what I was hoping for. But again, coming back to the gameplay, it's honestly one of the most fun games, RPGs I've ever played. I mean, it's more fun than The Witcher, the gameplay, by a mile. Oh,
yeah, yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, the combat in The Witcher is what broke it for me. That's what turned me off.
It's like, more fun than Red Dead. It's more fun than all these games. AC Valhalla, like it's just more versatile. On the combat though,
you know what they still didn't nail?
What?
Melee.
No, I was going to say that. They didn't nail the melee and they didn't nail the climbing.
I think the problem, we can touch on the climbing in a second. My personal problem with the melee is the spear is way too slow.
It's just too slow. Yeah.
Get her a sword. Like, get her a sword that pops out of her spear, like her staff. Like, she can still have the staff because it's important for the story. But have it so that she has, like, a sword which is shorter and quicker. And
even if it's quicker but less damage, I would prefer that.
Yeah, I would much prefer that. Because so many times you wind up for a hit and you get the machines hit quicker than you. So it's like, well, what's the point of doing this?
Yeah, see, I think they run into a problem with the melee where there's no parrying like in a Dark Souls game.
Can you block at all?
No, you can't. Well, no, I don't think you can. You can only dodge, right? So that's where they run into this problem. If they give you too much melee, it's too easy for the smaller enemies or the humans. So I don't know what they do there, but I mean the bow and arrow and all the gear that you get there. I don't know if you've unlocked that new weapon. I won't spoil it for you, but...
They sort of spoil it a little bit because it's in the menus. Is that the one that fires bolts?
No. Well, that one's great as well, but there's another one as well. I won't spoil it for you, but
okay.
They've added some additions as well that are really fun. And at the end of the day, it comes down to the enemy design. It's just so good.
And even it's so diverse.
It is similar to the last game. There's a lot of similarities, you know. It's pretty much the same. They've just added a few more enemies. But the way these enemies move, like that Silver Fang, the way they've programmed that enemy to move, man, it's just so cool. That's the word. It's cool. It's fun.
It is. It's super cool. Like it's robot dinosaurs and robot like
it's predators. Like, it's what awesome. Kids, it's, as your kid, it's what we dream of. Like seriously, if we saw that this was a gaming when we were young, man, we would go crazy because it's just, it's insane. But in terms of story and characters,
the story.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm just not into it at the moment. I like bits and pieces. I like the main quest a lot more than I like the side quests that I've been given.
I'm with you. The side quest stuff, I like the ruins that you can go find and like the puzzles that are within those ruins.
Yeah,
like the old world ruins.
Definitely do the ruins. You get a nice reward at the end for those. Yeah.
The side quests I'm just sort of doing at the moment. I haven't come across any that I've really loved, but I love how meaty, how long, and how awesome the main quests are. They are just far and above the highlight of this game. Like, I love how long they are, and I love how much like the story is my favorite part of this. And it's not, I'm not talking about like the tribe stuff. Like, the tribe stuff's fine. Like,
the tech
there,
side, okay. The sci-fi side.
For me, it's the sci-fi side.
Interesting.
That, yeah.
A lot of reviews I've seen, it's the opposite.
In the first. So you're the opposite?
No, a lot of reviews I've seen is the opposite. I tend to agree with you. But even then, I thought it was too bloated with cutscenes in the first 8 hours. Like, you're just trying to warm up and trying to get in.
There is a lot, especially the mission I just did. Like, there's a lot of long cutscenes, especially if you're finding out all you can do, like when it comes to the dialogue options.
Oh, I started to just beeline it, man. I actually started to not exhaust all options in the dialogue. It was going too long. Legitimately, a guy told me, "Are you sure you want to hear this story?" Because it was literally 10 minutes long. I said, "Yeah, okay, I'll hear it."
I do remember
did
that.
Did you do that one? And he kept going.
I heard it.
Going.
But I know how like, and every time it'd get to a point where it's like, do you want him to keep going or do you want him to stop?
Yeah, I have to hear him out. Yeah. I can't stop him halfway.
And the worst bit is, I couldn't tell you what the story was now.
No, I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you a thing. I was on my phone in the end. But like, it's just, it is tough. It is tough, a tough thing to do with so many characters, so many storylines going on, different tribes, and probably a little bit too much for my liking. There's a way to keep it personal as well in a big open world like this. But yeah, side quests aren't doing it for me. What else is there? The climbing, hit and miss.
It's not it's not perfect. When it works, it's great. Like, it's not, this game gets compared to Breath of the Wild so much, and in some cases rightfully so, but the climbing isn't like Breath of the Wild where it's just climb everywhere, you can climb anything, it's fine. There are like scripted paths that you can follow, and like those scripted paths are wider and bigger and more varied than Zero Dawn. But like, you still can't climb everything. And so it does make maneuvering a little bit annoying sometimes. Like, if you're trying to get to a point that's like tucked away in like a fish hook of a mountain, you've sort of like got to go round and swirl it and then like up. And so that does become a bit of a pain.
Now, I thought of AC Valhalla, where you can climb anything, like you said, right? It's easy. It almost does it for you. And I heard the counter argument from someone that, well, they just hold your hand with the climbing. It's numbing. In Assassin's Creed Valhalla, because they just do it for you. Whether in this one, they do it for you, but there's still a little bit of, you got to concentrate. There's a few niggly bits. I'm like, it's actually a fair point. Now that I think about that.
You do have to think about it. You do have to look for like, right, where do I want to start and where do I need to end up?
Yeah. So in that sense, I gave it a pass after they won me over, but still, maybe there's a way to just refine, because sometimes you think you can climb it and you can't, and it's sort of the way they've designed it, because sometimes the terrains look the same, but one you can climb, one you can't, you know. So maybe just some consistency would be nice. So I know you can press the focus and it'll show you, which helps,
but I have that on because like I don't have time to be wasting like trying to climb.
What do you mean, as in the accessibility options?
Yeah, so you know the one where you can, like, when you go up to a cliff face, it'll have, like, the yellow lines on?
Yours are just on automatically?
Yeah.
Oh, Jordan, that's cool. So are you guided experience? Is that a guided? Is that where you guided, or did you go?
I think that bit's guided, but I think for the other parts, I'm explorer.
Okay.
I tried to do guided for like the waypoint stuff, but it got too annoying because, like, you know how like sometimes they just take you on the road, but the road's not the quickest way.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, just tell me what direction I need to go, and I can get there.
Yeah. See, what was the game where they literally didn't give you any map markers? Do you remember that? That was a selling point of a game.
And they talked about it in Red Dead. In Red Dead, there was a mode you could do, and it was literally just the
you got to listen, the, and you got
to you have to listen, and they'd be like, "Well, with Dutch, he told me down by the river, if you go down that way two kilometers past the barn, you find Dutch."
Yeah,
and so I was like, "All right, we'll try that out."
That's but a bit too realistic for me.
Yeah,
that one. Have you done any hunting trials?
No. So I've sort of steered clear of those just for the moment because especially now, all I want to do is play the story. Like that's the only thing I want to do. I want to find out more. I want to find out what's happening. For bits and pieces, I don't know how most people play games like this where I'll get into a bit of a pocket of the map where I've just got nothing but question marks. And I'll be like, right, I'm going to clear out these question marks now. I don't normally love doing the things like strike and like trials and that sort of thing because I don't feel like I'm getting anywhere with it.
So it's usually something I save to the end. To do strike for the platinum,
that factors in a little bit, but it doesn't feel like it gets me anywhere in terms of the game either. So I'm like, yeah, just leave it.
You only need to win two matches. I think that's compared to freaking Witcher where you had to collect every card, which was annoying because some of them were missable. So that's how you do trophies. Make you play a couple and then bounce. I like that.
Yeah, bounce out.
It's a pretty easy platinum, actually, looking at it. I don't recommend looking at it because there is a few spoilers in there. Yeah. What I did when I got up to the open world part is I tend to do this. I went to all the tall necks I could and unlocked them all just so I could open up the map a bit. And I got some fast travel points. Not that it's annoying to travel around this world. I mean,
there's a lot of campfires.
You don't really need to fast travel, but the option's there if you want to. But so you haven't done any hunting trials. You've done some ruins.
Yes, so I did some ruins. I've only done one tall neck, but the one where you got to climb up the satellite dish, I did that one.
Yep. Have you done you haven't done an arena yet either?
No. So that sort of stuff I haven't done yet. It's usually
you're going to leave that all. Yeah.
Yeah. Once I'm a bit stronger and it's a bit, I'll come back to that then.
Yeah.
But I've been very much in the interest of getting further west.
So you get a choice of Aether, Poseidon, or Demeter. So Coolrit, Las Vegas, and the Queen. Which one did you choose to pursue first? The lower level one?
Well, the lower level one, because that was my level.
Yeah. What level are you in the moment?
I think I'm about a 15 or a 16.
Yeah.
And so it was a level 17. So I was like, oh, yeah, well, I can do some exploring and clearing out of stuff on the way. I did do a rebel camp. Rebel camp was okay, but like really hard to find enemies in it, like when it got towards the end.
Yeah.
I was like, where are the rest of these enemies?
Hey, at least it's not like, fuck, right? Everything's a rebel camp.
Yeah.
I've actually found that there's not many rebel camps that I've only done two. For an open world game, that's actually pretty crazy for me to only have done two camps in 22 hours. When you think about it.
Yeah.
Because think about it.
Because usually it's a staple.
It's a staple. So they have mixed it up a lot. I'll give them that. And they've really spread out the enemies across the maps as well. So you'll walk through, you'll find a Thunderjaw, then you'll find something else, and they're never really grouped up together. There'll be one Thunderjaw here and one across the other side of the map.
Yeah. Does it feel like the enemies are as concentrated as they were in Zero Dawn? Like, I felt like in Zero Dawn, they were everywhere.
I found that this entire game's a lot easier, whether that's by design.
You reckon?
Yeah. I've only died like once, and it was it was by that freaking rock guy.
Are you on normal?
Yeah, I'm on normal. So maybe I should bump it up. But
I'm only on normal as well. But I found I've just like not died out of nowhere. There's been a few times where I've just been like, I got whittled down and died. There's been a few times where like an animal will just do, or a machine will just do one move, and I'd be like, oh, all right, I'm dead. All right, that's fine. I'll try
again. I just feel like I'm going to just play this one on normal because Elden Ring's going to kick my ass. Like, this can be my warm up. This can be my easy game between Sifu and Elden Ring.
And this isn't a game I play for the challenge either. This is a game I'm definitely here for the world. And I'm definitely
not here for
the
challenge,
story.
Really. It's, here for fun.
Yeah.
There's still a little bit of a challenge on normal, but it's just normal to me feels like easy. I don't know about you.
No, I haven't felt like it's easy. I felt like there's been a few encounters that have been easy. Like when you come against like the burrowers and that sort of thing. So like the cannon fodder machines, like they're easy to take down. But like that first battle you have against the Grimhorn in the
cauldron. The cave,
I think I was underleveled, which I don't think helped.
Did he kick your ass?
It took me, I think I died once and I had to do it again to be able to get through it.
Yeah. Oh, that's not that bad then.
No, so it's not that bad, but like, and I wasn't doing much damage, but I was trying to take off like its tusk or horn, and I think it was quite armored. So I don't know whether that was the best idea, but I was like, I wanted to shoot it off so I could keep it, but I don't think I could keep it.
Dude, how do you find that system where you focus them and then they got five parts you can go across and you, is it all a little bit too much in the heat of battle?
No, I like it. I do find that like if you come across an enemy for the first time, having to scan it and then quickly like zip through to see what its weaknesses are can be a little bit much, but it does slow down. And if you need to, you can just go straight to the codex and look at like, well, I'm like up against a burrower. Here's where, or a leap lasher. Here's where it's weak. This is what it's weak to.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's a lot to love, man. I'm still working my way through it, but you know, Elden Ring is coming out, so we'll see how it goes. There's also races, which I don't think you've done either, Jordan.
You told me about this, and that is something that I would do like as soon as it's available to me.
Well, then you're close. I'm pretty sure one gets opened up to you.
Yeah.
So I think they're called Gauntlet Runs. So look out for that as well. And if you do come across the trials, give one a crack because they're a bit of a challenge. And
are they just like waves? Like waves of enemies?
No, it'll be like they want you to take out this Thunderjaw, and it's if you want a gold medal, it's 2 minutes. If you want silver, it's 4 minutes. So it's testing your skill. How quick can you take this thing out? Or it's not always that, but it's similar to the first game. There was hunting trials, if you remember those.
From the what was it called, like the hunter's something,
the hunter's lodge.
Hunter's lodge,
is that it? Maybe that's actually, that might be different actually.
I thought that's what the hunter's lodge was. Is that the same as the trials?
Maybe it's been, I can't, it's you it think was I, no I've played the game twice I have played it twice actually,
yeah,
funnily enough. Anything else you wanted to touch on that stood out to you?
Mainly, the thing that's just, like really keeping me hooked in is the story. Like like people have said this in reviews, like it goes places. And after the first one, it's like, how far can it possibly go? But like in this one, like especially the bit I'm up to now and like some of the revelations that have happened, like it's definitely going places, especially since the first one was the entire game was this mystery that was like getting slowly fed to you as you went, and then you get to the end and it's like, whoa, like this is what we've been doing the whole time and this is where the machines came from.
Yeah,
so I thought it was going to be, especially at the start, I was like, oh, is this just going to be like a tribal warfare game with, you know,
there is a lot of that, Jordan, still,
and I'm sure there is a lot of that. I don't mind having it peppered in and like it being there, but the thing that is pushing me is the sci-fi part of it, especially like with the revelations that just happened and with what you've got to do next. I'm like, I just want to do it. I want to find out what's happening. I want to find out what the next step is. I want to know everything.
I actually love how they open that up and then there's three key pillars to the map that you've got to target. I love when games do that.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about it, but they like, because you know that 1, 2, 3, and then you move on and you know after that, it's really going to ramp up. I don't know. Mm.
And especially because they explain why they're important and yeah, why you need to go and do it.
Exactly.
And the thought of what we'll learn when you collect each of those three things excites me a lot.
Now, also, I want to give everyone a tip. Make sure you scan the last boss.
Oh, okay. Is that for platinum now, hunters?
I was just told this for platinum hunters, yeah. Make sure you scan because there's no, you know, it's missable from what I've heard. And you need, okay. I believe you need to scan all of them for the trophy. So just keep that in mind, guys. Otherwise, you might be pissed unless you've got a manual save.
Yeah.
Which is, you can do a manual save as well. So there's that.
The last thing I did have to say is a bit of a spoiler. And so I might save it for when we do like a bit of a spoiler episode. Just in terms of Aloy and that. I might save that for a spoiler episode later.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you wanted to add, Danny Boy?
Looking forward to you seeing Las Vegas at nighttime. It's pretty sick.
Yeah.
Pretty sick. And I got to give it to them. I always say there needs to be variety in a game. They've nailed the variety. Legitimately, you walk through snow. Once you're out of snow, there's desert. Once you're out of desert, there's jungle. Once you're out of that, there's a beach side. They've got every terrain. Beautiful. That's why I want in a game every single time. The weather systems in this game, insane. And the water and everything, like rain, dynamic weather systems, the moon will come up, the sun will come down, the waves crashing. If you shoot your arrow in the water, the current will take it. Like it's the detail. She starts sweating in the heat of the desert. That's if you look cool. at it, these little details that this is what made Red Dead such a crazy game that lived on for so many years. These little details, and they've definitely put the work in there. I'll give it to them.
Is there a way you might be able to tell me because you're further in than me? I'm only about 12 hours in. Is there an upgrade or anything you get later that helps you breathe longer underwater?
Yeah, unlimited breathing. Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. Because one of my like fears in gaming is
drowning.
Drowning. Yeah, it honestly is. Like the bits of like, especially, I think it comes back to like my time playing God of War in when you're doing going through the challenge of Poseidon in Pandora's temple.
And do like, you swim in God of War?
Yeah, you know when you go through the challenge of Poseidon and like the whole chamber is flooded and you've got to like swim through a bit with all these barriers and stuff.
Really?
I'm looking this up now, man. Not 2018. Not 2018.
Ascension?
No. I'm talking like 2004, 2005 God of War 1, PS2 God of War.
Oh, okay. I remember they were swimming in Ascension.
Yeah, no, when you go through the...
Oh, yeah. I can see it now. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, swimming in all of them.
In all of them?
Yeah, except for 2018.
Really? God, I'm...
Maybe not in Ascension either.
I'm out of touch.
You are out of touch, man. You might need to play him again.
Hold on, there's not swimming in 3.
Yeah, there is, yeah.
In what part?
After you beat Hercules.
Oh, but you're not going under.
Yeah, you are.
Oh, God of War 3 is so good. I'm just looking now, man. What a great game.
I still think
it is such a well-paced game.
It is only behind Last of Us in terms of its graphics.
It was just too short, but man, it was good.
It needed one extra god in there. Like one extra god to take down.
An hour or so more would have done it.
Mm. There was a Titan boss that was cut and like Stig Asmussen came out and was like, you know, it could be DLC. Do you know how many times a day
I would check
to see whether DLC was coming for God of War 3? You have no idea.
Damn it. I'll never forget they showed that opening boss at E3 or wherever it was, man. That was insane when they showed that, the hype.
Do you know how many times I played the demo of that game? I think we've talked about this before.
Yeah, same here.
Like at least 30
because that
times.
Was the demo, right? The first 20 minutes?
No, it was the demo was after you come back from Hades. Cliffs. Yeah, and you're going up the cliffs and you're going after Helios.
Yeah, I know exactly what it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, they went in the right direction, but I still love those games.
Mm. Did you finish God of War on PC?
No, I didn't. Didn't end up finishing it. No.
Do you think you'll try and finish it before Ragnarok?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I just other things came up. It wasn't that I wasn't enjoying it. Yeah. It's actually good to get back in there and remember some of the great scenes.
I can't wait. I can't wait to play it again. I've got the new TV. I've got a new TV coming.
Oh, yeah, you got a new TV. Yeah, 4K?
Yeah, it's actually an 8K TV.
Whoa!
So do you want to... I'll tell you the story. What brand? The story's actually brilliant. It's an LG, so it's not it's not an OLED. It's not an OLED. I'll tell you the story.
Okay.
So we needed a TV for our theater room, my partner, my girlfriend and I, and I wanted one that had HDMI 2.1 because PlayStation 5 has it, so I'm like, might as well get one that's got it. And so I found this TV I wanted. It was an LG NanoCell 91 that wasn't too expensive. It was on sale and it had everything I needed.
How big are we talking, by the way, this 8K?
75 inch.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah, so it's a big one, right?
Hold on, you're going to play games on this?
Yeah.
Fucking hell. You're going to have some input lag, man.
No, well, no. So I shouldn't because if I'm correct,
no, you won't.
With stuff like HDMI 2.1, I shouldn't though, should I?
No. There's always a setting on the TV to help with that anyway.
And game mode and stuff, yeah.
Yeah,
game mode. So we're after this Nano 91 75 inch and looked everywhere and we found one and it was like, oh, we could get this one or we could get the 86, the Nano 86, which is 75 inch as well, which is a bit cheaper and has what I want on it as well. And we sort of were like, oh, we don't know. We'll keep looking. And we're like, we'll go to one more place and we'll have a look. We walk in and they have the two there. And we're like, oh, we could get those. We'll just have one more look around the corner. We look around the corner and we're like, oh, what's this? And it's the one that I didn't even know existed. It was an LG NanoCell 95, which is like the top of the range 8K TV. And it was the last one. And they were selling it for $3,000 off the normal price. And made it cheaper than the other two. So we were like, we'll take that one then, I guess. So we got it cheaper than the other two models, which it's better than. And it's still 75 inch. So winning.
How did you get away with that? Is that a JB?
No, it was at the Good Guys.
Yeah, they own JB. But yeah, different still. Oh, wow. There you go.
So very, very lucky. So I'm so
excited. What was your other TV had outlasted its stay or you just wanted?
No. So because we've moved into our new house, we needed a TV for the theater room and my PlayStation's currently just out in the living room. And so I was like, we're going to get a new TV. We'll get a bigger one for the theater room and we'll make sure it's got 2.1 for.
And I like that you went 75. That's what I've got in the theater.
So I've got our normal one 65. So I was like, well, we need something bigger than that for the theater room.
I didn't want 85. I thought 75 or 86. 75 is perfect. Huge. Yeah, it's too
85
big.
Is huge.
Unless you're really back in the room. I'm not that far back. So 75, perfect.
Yeah, we're only about 2.5-3 meters back from the TV. So even 75 might be too big, but I'm so excited.
Yeah, LG. I always say LG or Sony are my go-tos for TVs. Yep. If anyone wants a recommendation, do not go with Sonic. Oh, they're terrible. Do not go with Sonic.
Man. I remember when I first got I think it must have been when I got my PlayStation 3, very close to then, and Red Dead 1 had just come out.
Mm.
And I remember I got my first HD TV. And HDMI. I think that was the thing. I think I had a PlayStation, but the PlayStation 3 didn't come with a HDMI standard.
No, it was the 3. It was the red, yellow, and
it was red, white. Yellow, and white. And so I had red, yellow, and white for it.
Do you remember that changing to HDMI, the difference?
Yes.
Oh, that
I'll never forget. I never forget.
I could not believe what I was watching when I changed. I didn't realize. I was so thick. I think that was around 2009 for me when I switched.
Yeah, for me, it was maybe it was about the same for me too, about 2010 maybe. But yeah, my first HD TV was a Sanyo 32 inch. And I thought, man, this is so big. This is such a big TV.
Samsung are all right as well, but yeah, don't go Kogan. Don't go Sonic. High Sense, I'm not a big fan of either.
They're fine for like if you just need a TV.
All, yeah, they're all fine. But I mean, if we're talking quality, yeah.
Nah, but like because we were like, this is for a theater room, and like I was being a bit of a snob because I'm like, well, I've got a very expensive console to play in it. Like I want it to look the best.
Yeah, if you're gonna be a snob, I reckon the theater room is the place to be. One.
Yeah.
Have you got the theater chairs, the gold class chairs yet, or what?
No. We've just got like a normal couch in there.
Oh, that's good enough.
Yeah.
That'll be your next purchase, eh?
Oh, no. Hopefully we should be done for purchases now. We got through summer without an air conditioning, so we're like, oh, maybe we're going to do
did
that
you?
Next.
Did you?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, wow. Well done.
Yeah. Yeah. So we got through there.
Are
so
you going to get it or not? No.
Yeah. No, we will, but not just yet. Like, because summer's coming to an end. We're like, we'll just wait till spring, and then we'll get another one. Well, not get another one, but get one.
You got ceiling fans?
No, we don't. We've got one of those like Dyson air blades. You know the ones I mean?
Yeah.
They're bladeless fans. So we've got one of those.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So they do the trick. They're all right.
Anyway, Horizon, if you had to give it a number right now, it's early.
I don't know. It's super, super early.
Pretty early. Ballpark.
You're further than me.
I'm at an 8 at the moment.
Yeah, see, I think I'm probably, if I had to give it a number now, like if I had to stop playing right now, it'd be a 9.
I could be convinced on a 9.
I'm riding that high, though, of that reveal. And like I'm someone who I think liked Horizon Zero Dawn a lot more than other people because the sci-fi story just got me. Like, and the twist at the end and all the reveals like hit me so hard that like the stuff that's happening now, I'm like, oh yeah, let's go.
I love how they also they did a big marketing job on this game, PlayStation. Billboards everywhere, and they've even got claw striders in there's one near Vike's house in Sydney.
Yeah, in Sydney, yeah.
Near the Opera House. There's one in Times Square, there's one in London, I think, Dubai. They got them everywhere. They're going hard on this game.
They really want Aloy to be like the next, not the next big thing.
The problem the game is the next best thing. Like the game's going to sell bonkers. Let's be honest. It's going to sell well. But she's like, she's always going to be the star, but she's not the star. She's not the star for me. Like a Nathan Drake, not even close.
I do think it's a little bit different. You know what actually she needs? She needs Val or someone like Val to be with her through the entire story so that they can bounce off each other and they can have
clips
and they can have moments like they can have moments in the car, like in The Last of Us.
Correct.
Like,
she needs a companion. I agree.
You know when they're in the car with the comic book in The Last of Us 1?
Great scene.
Like you don't need material exactly like that, but like you need scenes like that. Which are probably missing.
I don't know if she's going to find a magazine with fucking semen in it in Horizon. Don't know if that's going to work, man. She's going to see a dinosaur bone with semen in it. What have you been doing to the dinosaur?
Oh, no.
You've gone way too far. I'm harping on about it, but at the end of the day, it is a game I would recommend at the moment, 22 hours in. It is a bit of a slog. Like you do have to get through that opening, especially if you're not digging the story. Now, me and Jordan were, and I still think it was a little bit of a slog. I don't know. You don't really. You enjoyed it.
So the tribal stuff, I was like, is this legit all it's going to be? And when they started dropping the breadcrumbs of the sci-fi stuff, that's why I'm so high.
Jordan, it goes even more sci-fi, man. It's crazy. The sci-fi is insane. But I have heard the final hour is underwhelming. I don't want to put a damper on it, but I have heard that from a few people. Yeah, we'll see. I saw the Dying Light 2 ending because I haven't finished Dying Light 2. I saw the ending because I just wanted to see it, and it was abysmal. Really
bad. Do you think it'll go on record? Like one of my favorite videos is like Watch Mojo's worst top like top 10 worst.
Yeah, it will. Honestly, it's a shocking final boss.
Yeah, they're going to really beat Kane Lynch Dog Days 2.
Oh, no, not going to beat that, but it's bad. Watch Angry Joe's review or whoever. You'll see the final boss. It's shocking. It's a bit disappointing. But they'll fix it. By the time half of us get around to playing that and finishing it, they'll probably have fixed it with patches. Now, one other thing, Jordan, before we end the show, Uncharted came out in theaters and it's doing really well. 50 million in the US.
And critically, it's doing all right too.
Yeah, fans are loving it. Well, at least liking it, enjoying their time in the theater. 50 million. You know what?
They don't need to like love it or like it. They just need to enjoy it. That's it. And like, it doesn't need to be like a Oscar-winning movie.
It was never going to be that.
Yeah.
And by the looks of it, man, the 50 million in the US, that's pretty damn good.
Mm.
They were expecting 30, so it's
that's awesome. That's real good.
I don't know if it's a Tom Holland factor straight out of Spider-Man, or is it the game's popularity in the US?
I think we all know what it really is, Dan.
Oh, God.
It's Mark Wahlberg and his Funky Bunch making this movie, The Dosh. All right.
I don't think anyone listening to this podcast is seeing that movie for Mark Wahlberg. He's actually the one negative I'm hearing about the film. Are you going to see it this week or what?
I don't think I'll have time this week.
Are you going to see it at all in the theaters?
I do want to see it. Yeah, I do want to see it.
Yeah, I'm going to see it as well, I think, sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I want to see it. When we should do it, we should do like a standalone episode where we talk about it.
That sounds good. That sounds good, actually. I think the fans will like to hear that too. No, so they're going all right there. 120 million worldwide, I think, could end up around the 400, which would warrant a sequel easily. Which so could be multiple film Uncharted films. Pretty crazy. But
do you think they've like already got plans for a sequel? Like, do you reckon
the director has said he wants to replicate the car chase scene from Uncharted 4? He's already said that on record, and I think he has ideas.
Do the train,
and also I'm pretty sure there's an end credits scene. So, they definitely will do it if the money comes through, which it looks like it is at the moment. I'm interested to see how it does in Australia. Obviously, a good opening here is like 3 million, 4 million compared to 50 million in the US. Yeah. So funny. All right, Jordan. Well, it's been a pleasure. We have not covered any news, but we will next week.
We'll give people some news. The Capcom countdown was for Street Fighter 6. There you go. Yeah,
there you go. Street Fighter 6, new engine. How many are you excited?
I've never played.
I told you it was Street Fighter. It's not Resident Evil. Resident Evil, you'll know when it's Resident Evil. They make it very clear. This was too vague. And it was right after Capcom Cup. It was obvious. I think they just did the font to try and get some of those Resident Evil people in for more numbers.
It's like a change of art style too. And it looks a bit like, not that the theme's going to be like, not the story or anything's going to be darker, but like it's like a gunmetal sort of aesthetic to everything.
It needed a mix-up, so I'm looking forward to it. But besides that, I mean, Last of Us 2 was delayed. The Last of Us TV series was delayed till next year now. It's coming next year. Besides that, I mean, Elden Ring's coming out this week. We're pumped for that.
Very excited for that. That's oh, man. Imagine that on the new TV. Ooh-wee.
Are you going to finish Horizon by the time that's out?
No, probably not. No,
so you're going to finish Horizon and then come back? Or what?
I think I should finish Horizon first.
And Platinum? And then move on?
No, I think I can... Horizon's a game that it should be simple enough to come back later in Platinum.
Yeah, I agree.
And I've still got to worry about Sifu as well.
Yeah, that Platinum.
Yeah.
It won't take much for you to finish that off.
Yeah, I've got a lot of trophies left to do, but I don't know. Do you get a trophy for like each time you spare a boss?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think there's that. I've still got to beat the game under 25. I can confirm, though, I have no idea how to parry the last boss. Like, I don't understand. Sometimes I'll parry him and I'll be like, I don't even know how I did that.
Yeah, it's all right. You don't really have to parry. Like, you can whittle him down and still spare him.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
I'll see how I go. I've got to try and beat him under 25 first.
Yeah. You just got to put the work in, you know?
Yeah.
All right, man. I appreciate you and all the fans out there.
I appreciate
there.
You too.
We will see you next week for our Elden Ring, possible Elden Ring thoughts. And maybe I might have finished Horizon by the time you hear maybe. From, and even Jordan might have as well.
I might be as well. Might be as well. But do you know what else will be back next week, Daniel?
What will be back?
Not Vike, if that's what you're thinking. Like, he might be back, but we're not excited about that. We're excited about coming back is the Remus.
And even Gran Turismo is just around the corner, guy. I think it's 11 days away. It's coming quick. So there's a lot to look forward to.
That's crazy. 11 days away.
Yeah.
Wowie.
Yeah, and the Borderlands game and bloody Forspoken soon. And, yeah, it'll open up. Next minute will be E3, Fike's favorite time of the year.
Oh yeah, I can't wait for E3. I love E3 week. I should mention, like, I don't love E3 the conference. I just love the time. Like, I love the time of E3 where it's like trailers, reveals.
It's our Super Bowl, man.
Do you think we'll get something as good as the Wolverine reveal this year?
Yeah, definitely. Sony have so much that they haven't told us, man. There's so many exciting reveals.
Reveal.
Dude, what about Naughty Dog's next title? We don't even know what it is, man. Do you know how exciting that is?
Yeah, no, don't get me wrong. It's definitely exciting. But, like, is it Wolverine exciting? Like, it's Wolverine by Insomniac.
Well, what about Wolverine gameplay? That'll be exciting when we see that.
That will be. That will be.
You might even see Spider-Man 2 gameplay because it's supposed to be coming out next year.
Who's in that game again? Who's the bad guy in that one?
Mark Wahlberg.
Again.
No. What's your other impression? Sorting Hat's impression. Hold on.
Gryffindor.
Sorting Hat's impression, but it's also Sorting Hat's as Christopher Walken. No. Sorting Hat's as Mark Wahlberg. For fuck's sake. I don't know.
I could do Hagrid. I was watching Harry Potter today. I could do a Hagrid. You know, in Chamber of Secrets where Gilderoy Lockhart like takes his bone, Harry's bone out of his arm. And Gilderoy's like, well, as you can see, it's clearly not broken. And Hagrid's like, broken? There's no bones left.
Oh, God. And also Batman movie. I can't wait for it. All right, guys. That's it. Jordan. It's a pleasure to serve you. Guys, 5-star review on Spotify, Apple, wherever you're listening. Follow me Twitter, follow Jordan on Twitter, and we will see you later.